The Senate is this week expected to pass changes to the redistribution of the goods and services tax. The government won support for the bill by agreeing to legislate a provision that no state will be worse off under the new model. The Australian economy continues to be a good news story, but a stark warning from investment bank UBS has raised the prospect of storm clouds on the horizon. Matthias Cormann is the finance minister. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Good to be back.
Matthias Cormann, I'm going to play you something your Prime Minister said just last month.
Our government is in the habit of writing blank cheques to anybody. What we're in the habit of doing is setting out very clear, well-researched plans which demonstrate clearly, that every single state and territory is better off under this plan.
Okay, so why have you written a blank cheque after the Prime Minister said that?
We haven't.
You've written into the rules that the no state will be worse off.
Well, I mean, that is part of the plan that we announced in July.
Sure.
That is a plan that we're now legislating.
Okay, but it's different, actually, because you said in that plan there was a model. You said you didn't want to run two sets of books. Now you're running two sets of books because you're going to guarantee that no state is worse off. You're going to write that into the legislation. Why do that?
Well, what we're doing, we're very confident that no state will be worse off.
But you didn't want to write it in because you said it was running two books.
Well, in order to get to secure passage of the legislation, what we've agreed to is a transitional arrangement. What we didn't want to do and what we are not doing is to forever and a day on an ongoing basis to run two books into the future. And we're not. What we're doing is that we're transitioning to a new methodology for GST sharing arrangements, which will make the system fairer, which will make the system better for every state.
So for how long will you run the two sets of books?
Well, consistent with the legislation for 6 years, and at the end of that is the transitional period. And at the end of that period, we have committed to conducting a further Productivity Commission inquiry, reviewing the way the system has been operating and to ensure that it has operated as intended.
Investment bank UBS has warned that the credit crunch we're seeing as a result of the Banking Royal Commission is likely to intensify as banks tighten lending. Are you worried about the impact that could have on the economy?
Well, it's certainly true that banks are important facilitators in our economy. But if you look at the way that our economy is performing, having inherited a weakening economy and rising unemployment from Labour back in 2013, today, of course, economic growth is stronger, employment growth is stronger, our budget position is improving. And only last week, the Reserve Bank of Australia actually upgraded its growth outlook for 2018 and 2019 to 3.5% for those years. There's obviously there were always going to be some implications of the Royal Commission into the banks, but public confidence into the public confidence in the banking sector more broadly is obviously a very important part of making sure that into the future the banks are in the best and the strongest possible position to be the important facilitators in the economy that they are.
UBS has suggested the intensity of the fallout will hinge on the extent of the regulation imposed on banks in the wake of the Hayne Royal Commission. Should that be a consideration in how you implement the recommendations?
Well, obviously, in relation to all policy matters, it's always a matter of making sure that the balance is right. I mean,
You are concerned about that.
Well, we will be considering the public interest, and there are always a range of matters that come into these sorts of considerations. And making sure that we've got the policy settings right to ensure that there is appropriate access to finance in the Australian market, is one consideration. Making sure that consumers' interests are appropriately protected is a very important consideration. Making sure that banks are competitive, stable. I mean, there are a whole range of different considerations that ultimately feed into the policy decisions of government. And what is always important is to ensure that with your decisions, you get your balance right.
West Australian Liberal Dean Smith, who's of course a colleague of yours because you're from Western Australia as well, has warned that the collapse in the party's appeal to young people could cost the coalition at the next election, particularly talks about credible policies in relation to climate change and the cost of housing to regain the trust of voters younger than 35. What are you doing to get their trust?
Well, it's very important that we gain the trust of younger Australians, and everything that we do is about making Australia stronger for the future, including making sure that young Australians have the best possible opportunity to get ahead, to get a job, to get a good job, and to build a career here in Australia. So there are a whole range of issues that we understand young people are particularly interested in. And yes, of course, we've got to ensure that we continue to respond to those. But ultimately, it's as I said in response to the previous question, is always a matter of balance.
Yeah, okay. But Dean Smith is one of your colleagues. He obviously thinks you're doing a pretty bad job of appealing to young voters. This is a demographic time bomb, isn't it?
Well, you decide to take a negative view. I prefer to take a positive
view. Dean Smith.
Well, no. You said he obviously thinks we're doing a bad job. I don't believe that.
Well, he says you need to do more to appeal to young voters. That's what he means.
So, the way I take Dean's comments is that he is encouraging us to do even better. And of course, we always are very welcoming of encouragement of us to do even better than what we're doing.
So do you want house prices to come down so that people under 35 get access to housing?
Well, we want to make sure that there is appropriate balance in the housing market so that increasing demand for housing can be responded to through with increasing supply. And I mean, as you would see in the market now, compared to what was the case last year or the year before, in recent years, in Sydney and Melbourne in particular, supply now is exceeding demand, and that has been having an impact on prices across capital cities.
Okay, so it's had an impact, and you're saying essentially prices are going down. Is that a good thing?
Well, look, it's always a matter of making sure that the market is in the appropriate balance.
A good thing? I'm asking
What is a good thing is that to the extent that the market was overheated, it's now no longer overheated. It's very important that we don't make decisions that drive prices down excessively. Because, I mean, you've got to remember that 70% of Australians either own their own home or are paying off a mortgage on their own home. And so you've always got to make sure that you make decisions with the appropriate level of balance.
The Australian Energy Council is seeking legal advice on whether the government's powers to forcibly break up energy retailers is constitutional. Does that suggest that they won't cooperate with your attempt to force them to lower power prices?
Obviously our focus is, we're on the side of consumers and business, and we want to ensure that power prices are as low as they can be. I mean, we understand that some of the businesses operate selling electricity would rather keep, record profits going into the future. But, you know, we're concerned about that. And we want to ensure that to the extent that there are rip-offs, that we can effectively address them. In the end, whatever we do as a government in responding to these sorts of issues obviously is based on legal advice. It is based on appropriate advice. And, of course, we will always make decisions that are consistent with our constitutional powers.
Do you have a plan B if it's found to be unconstitutional?
We don't concede that what we are planning to do is unconstitutional. I mean, I think it's some of the commentary is a bit premature. We're working our way through the legislative drafting as we speak. There is a consultative process obviously on the way. Some vested interests will express certain views. I mean, that is a normal part of the process. But I think it is somewhat premature for people to make conclusive constitutional judgments. But what I would want to say to you and to your listeners is that everything we do is always based on the appropriate advice to ensure that we act within the law and that we act within the framework of our constitution.
The latest polls have the coalition trailing Labor by 10 points. Is it time to acknowledge that replacing Malcolm Turnbull was a mistake?
I've well and truly said everything that I had to say in relation to the leadership transition.
Oh, I've asked you a new question on this show.
Not a new question. These events obviously, emerge in certain circumstances, which are a matter of public record. We are where we are.
Was it a mistake?
No. I mean, obviously, it's not something that I would have initiated. It was something, as I've said on the public record now for many times, it was initiated, by Malcolm, during that week. And we are where we are.
You swung your vote behind changing the leader. So you have to take responsibility.
Well, and I have, and I've publicly explained my position before.
So was it a mistake?
After those events, no. I mean, I've stand by the
judgments. Why was it not a mistake?
I have said everything that I have to say.
I just want you to explain to me now, why wasn't it a mistake?
And Patricia, I've explained that well and truly, sufficiently, on many occasions.
I don't know if all my listeners will agree that you've sufficiently answered it. Why wasn't it a mistake? Just answer it.
I have made extensive comment. I'm not going to continue to go through what is now well and truly in the past and what I have addressed.
It's not well
and
truly
occasions.
In the past. It's not well and truly in the past. It's a couple of months ago.
Indeed.
Well, it's not. I mean, this is happening. This has happened. You have to answer questions on it still. Was it a mistake?
And I've already said no, and I've addressed...
But can you tell us why you don't think it was a mistake?
I've explained that in some detail on many occasions. I'm not going to continue to comment.
Why is it better now? Why is your government any better now?
I'm not going to continue to comment on the events of 2 months ago. Our party room made a decision, which I support 100%, that we will be in the best possible position to deliver a strong, united and effective government and to be competitive at the next election under the leadership of Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg. And it is a position that I 100% support.
Matthias Cormann, thanks for joining us.
Always good to talk to you.